Hey, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. It's so good to be with you this morning. I'm excited to be here. I have to be honest with you, while Pastor Dustin and everyone else was panicking about not having sound today, and we're sorry we can't go online, so good thing you're in the house today, because that's something we weren't able to do. But when those powers out, air conditioning was out, the air conditioning's running, so it's catching up, but we had to reset the cooler. A lot of things were happening just for us to have church today, but I was getting excited because I was going to go old school. I was going to yell like an old-fashioned preacher, because with no mic, we were going to do a cappella, and I had it all dreamed up in my mind. I was going to scream and yell, and at the end of this day, I was going to have no voice. But we have a mic. We're here today, and someone's thankful for that. There, I got a clap over there. Thank you very much for that. We're so good. It's so good for us to be together. Happy Father's Day. It's an extra blessing for me today. This doesn't happen very often, but my two favorite fathers in my life, my dad and my father-in-law, are here today, and of course, their wives. So I want to welcome them. So glad they're with us today. And we did this, believe it or not. They like each other enough that when Heather and I were first married, hadn't even had kids. In fact, we announced we were pregnant with Reagan in Hawaii with both of them. And so both of them were present when we got announced that we were pregnant with them. And so just a great day to be here. We're excited to be back after a couple good weeks with our girls. We are truly, officially empty nesters. When a child does not come home for the summer, you're officially empty nesters. And so we are in that empty nester season. So pray for Heather. She needs it. She needs it. She has to live with me all the time. Thus, we have a dog and two cats to comfort her. So we're so glad you're here. It is a great day. Today's when my role as a father and a pastor, it collides. When those two things, they come together on this day. And that's because that much of what I do is pretty much the same in both roles. And that is, I'm called to teach. And dads, we're called to be teachers of our home. And we're called to be leaders in our home. And so I'm so blessed today that I get kind of those two roles kind of collided together, both to be the blessing of being able to lead this great church and to lead this great people, and also to be a dad like many of you. So today we're celebrating Father's Day. There's when we teach dads or when we preach, there's really three components to our preaching and to our teaching. It's our craft, it's our content, and it's our character. This is for all parents. This isn't just a Dad's Day sermon, and this isn't just a parent sermon or a marriage sermon. This is for everybody today. There's something, it's about relationships and how God wants to help us today. But there's different components to what we do, dads. I'm going to kind of focus on us and what we do in our home. And what I do actually here this morning is, first of all, we have our craft. That's our gift. The gift that we've been given, the responsibility, the wonderful responsibility we've been given to teach and to lead our children and to lead our homes. That's our craft. The second is our content. That's what we have to say and what we're saying in the home and what we're teaching our kids. And hopefully, friends, we're teaching them the Word of God, and we're giving them good content and good instruction. Teach a child in the way that they should go, and when they grow old, they shall not depart from it. But the most important is character. Character is who we are, who I am before you today, who you are, dads, who you are. That's the most important, because we know this. We know do as I say, not as I do. We know that doesn't work. We know it doesn't work. And I'm not calling out for perfection, because none of us are perfect, and I'm the least perfect in this room. But none of us are calling for perfection, but we are calling that our character matters. And more important than our words, and more important than our gifts, is the character that we bring into our home and into our lives. And in fact, I've heard this and taught to me as a preacher: I am my ministry, not my sermons. The most important thing I do is not doing what I'm doing right now. The most important thing I do with you as the body of Christ in this local church is who I am, not what I preach. Because you can have great teaching, you can have great content, you can have great delivery, but what's important is, and again, your pastor's not perfect, but you do want a pastor that is endeavoring to live out what he's preaching and what he's teaching. And by the way, each week I preach and teach, I'm preaching it to myself first. I'm teaching it to myself first, because I need it. And Paul is my example this morning, who says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you." That's what a lot of parenting is. Dads, that's what a lot of it is to be a dad. to our kids. It's what it is to be a preacher. And what Paul knew this is to remind you of the gospel. And I'm here to remind you week after week of the gospel, which is the good news. I get to deliver good news every week. And I'm here to preach the good news to you. For what I have received, I pass on to you. I'm real excited about this message today. One, because I've been out of the pulpit here for 2 weeks. The other is when the 1st of May, the week before Mother's Day, my youngest, Riley, was moving down to Florida for an internship for the summer and going to live with her sister until August. So that made us officially empty nesters. And we drove to Florida, and Reagan's been excited for me to go to her church, and that's the church that Riley's doing an internship at. It's a great church, about 6,000. Got on vacation this last week, got to hear this wonderful pastor 3 times, just fed into my life. But in the 1st of May, I heard this message from him, and I told the girls, and I was thinking to myself, this is a Father's Day message. This is a home run Father's Day message. People need to hear this. And so the words of Paul came to me, and I thought, Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. There's no original thought. Today, I'm going to take 3 points from the message of all we know is to call him PQ or Pastor Q, because you cannot pronounce or say his last name. He's from New Jersey, and it's a long, long alphabet of letters, so they call him PQ or Pastor Q. And what I received from that message on the first Sunday in May, I'm going to pass those 3 points on to you and then put a few of my own twists in today, because I thought it was so good for me, and it was so good for me to hear. And what I received, I wanted to pass on to you. And the idea behind this message is we all have this problem, every single one of us in this room, and if we had online, they do too. Everyone out there has it. We all have this same problem. It's this idea of intentions versus actions and this gap that's between it. That we all, and I look at all of you, I know a lot of you, and I know this about you, and I know this about me, that our intentions are good, right? I mean, we have the best of intentions in our marriages, in our families, in our workplaces, in our school, in our friendships. We have the best of intentions, but what happens? There's often a big gap between our intentions and our actions. Sometimes country music does get it right. And the old Randy Travis, you know, some say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And mama, my intentions were the best. I'm not going to sing the rest of the song to you, but it is true. That country song has truth to it today. There is a gap between our intentions and our actions, and what we're trying to do is bridge the gap between and close the gap between our intentions and our actions, because when we close the gap between our intentions and our actions, everyone wins. We all get better. I mean, guys, when our intentions match our actions in our relationship with our spouse, our wife wins. When our intention with our kids match our actions or they're closer to our actions, they win. When our intentions at work and at school match or get closer to our actions, our employer wins, our employees wins, our everybody wins when we close this gap of intentions and actions. And yet, the Apostle Paul knew so well and so eloquently tells us what our condition is, that we have this dilemma. And he talks about it. In fact, there's a whole chapter devoted to it in Romans chapter 7. I'm not going to read the whole chapter today, but I'm just going to summarize it, this one chapter with this one verse, where Paul says, I do not understand what I do. Can I get a witness? Anybody here this morning, you don't even understand what you did this morning. Certainly we have some things this week we didn't understand what we did. And we had some things that was certainly in the last month and year. Why did I do that? For what I want to do, I do not do. I want to eat right and exercise, but what I hate to do. I go to the refrigerator, I pull out a piece of pie and a cake, and I eat it anyway. I mean, there's all these different things, and that's just a lighthearted way. But even, guys, and if those of you who are married, in our relationship with our wives, we have, you know, there's sometimes we go, why did I say that? Why did I do that? I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to say that, but I said it. Why did I feel the urge that I have to say that? I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And I hate this about myself. And you probably hate it about you. It's the things that we probably hate the most about ourselves is that that gap between our intentions and our actions sometimes seems so far away. But we all win when we close that gap. And first of all, I want to talk about the gap that we cannot close by ourselves, that we cannot do anything about. And Paul understood this. In fact, the next verse, a few verses later in verse 24, he said, "What a wretched man am I that I'm in this condition, that my intentions are so far from my actions, and time after time I fall short, and I fall over the cliff, and I don't do what I want to do. What a wretched man I am. What an awful condition I'm placed in, and how hopeless it must feel." And he understands this, and he says, "Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" And here is the good news that I want to remind you of today. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ has closed that gap, praise be to God. With his death on the cross, with his arms stretched wide, he closed the gap that we could not fill, and we can't fill. We couldn't earn it. We couldn't deserve it. There's nothing we could do to justify or work or obtain it. It was a gift that Jesus has filled the gap of our intentions and our actions, and he's reconciled us into a right relationship with him. That is the good news. That's the good news that we share each and every week. But out of that good news, out of that gift that we've been given, that he's closed that gap and put us in a right relationship and right standing with him, he wants us not to be perfect, but he wants us to close the gap in our relationships with others. And so today I want to share these three things. And the first one is this. This is all scriptural. It's all biblical. When you think something good, say it. When you think something good, say it. But encourage one another daily, the writer of Hebrews says, as long as it is called today. Sometimes we just put things off. We think we should do this or I should say that, but we don't. Just do it. Say it why it's today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We spent a whole series, 8 weeks, on a series on hope, and Dustin did a great job of landing the plane on defense. Only criticism I have of Dustin's message of his disparaging remarks at the Denver Broncos. Other than that, he knocked it out of the park. He did an awesome job talking about this hope, because when we don't have hope, when we get discouraged, our hearts begin hardened, and we become deceived. When we get discouraged in our marriage, we get hardened in our marriage. And we become deceived and we think that nothing's good's going to come from this. Or in our relationships or with our kids, or maybe it's a work relationship. When we get the place that we're discouraged in our workplace, our hearts get hard towards work. We don't want to go. We don't want to be a good employee. We don't want to give the extra. We don't want to be a good boss. We don't want to give the extra, because our hearts have gotten hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And we say all these crazy things in our head up here between these two ears that are deception and a lie of the enemy, all because we're not discouraged. And so what we're called to do as believers, especially, I mean, this is, by the way, this is good. These three things are good, even if you aren't a Christian today, even if you're on a follow Jesus, and you're just kind of checking Jesus out. I think you'll agree with me. All three things are like, hey, this is good stuff. And it would be good for your marriage or your work relationship or whatever relationships you're talking about. But as followers and professing followers of Jesus, it not only would be good, but it's something that Jesus requires and he wants us to do. He wants us to close the gap in our relationships. When we think something good, say it. Back in March, there's not many former, it would be physically impossible, but I get words at different times of former church members and former board members and leaders from former churches that I pastored of their passing. And a few months ago, just 72 years old, very young in my opinion, but at my first church in Sacramento, Greg Van Dusen, he was my board chair. He was such an encourager, and he lived this out. And I thought of him, and when I went to his funeral in March, they passed out cards of what his life and the things that he lived by. And things became clear for me, because all the time, as a young pastor, as a rookie pastor at my first church, he would tell me, "Pastor Kent, you're awesome. That was an awesome message. You're doing an awesome job." He would say these things, and then I kind of felt a little bit let down when I show up at his funeral, and this is one of his some of his core values: give thanks, inspire others, volunteer for something, tell someone they're awesome, you know, but he meant it. I mean, he didn't do it like insincere, but he was trying to encourage, donate to a charity, tell a loved one they're appreciated. Actually, three of those things were Pastor Nate did a great job in the message last week. So clear about belonging, about being the importance of showing up, the importance of serving, the importance of giving. That was, Greg lived a fulfilled life. And I even shared, if you were here on that Sunday, I shared a little bit of his video and his last words. He's inspired me because he's a man who knew the power of words. Proverbs knows the power of words. It says the tongue has the power of life and death. Our words are so powerful. I would say it this way. Your words are either killing something or they're bringing something to life. Friends, the words that you're speaking to your husband and to your wife, they're either killing the relationship or they're bringing life to the relationship. The words that you're speaking to your children, they're either killing their spirit or they're bringing life to them. The words that you say to your employees or even to your boss, the words that you say at work or the words that you say at school, they're either killing something or they're bringing things to life. Our words have the power of life and death. They're so powerful, what we say. And I want to share this morning, and I don't have notes for you today, but it's just a few simple things. One is, I have one thing, this is an all skate for everybody, but I am going to hone in just for a second on those who are married. And so, first I got one for the guys, and then I got one for the ladies. And we're going to go with the guys first. And this is to close the gap between our relationships. And if we'll do these things, if we'll speak it when we think it, the good things, not the bad things, this is one of the great things. Men, pursue her with words of affection. Now, I thought long and hard about how I was going to communicate this, and I had some different things, and every way I played it out in my mind, it did not end well. And I thought back to Pastor Q's message, and I thought, man, he said it so well, and he can get away with it. So just about a minute and a half of my daughter's pastor giving this point.
Men, pursue her with words of affection. Pursue her with words of affection. Men, can I? Yeah, the guys are like, affection? Listen, let me say it like this. Pursue her with non-sexual affection. Pursue her. It's hard. It's a little different. Ready? Let me get it again. Let me say it in the Greek so you guys will get it. Pursue her with non-sexual affection. And the reason why I take so much time with that, because ladies, we know, men, we're just animals. We're animals, right? Right? And the reason why I say non-sexual affection, because we're animals, because we can turn anything sexual, can't we? Can we not, right? Your wife comes to you and says, listen, we need to rotate the tires. The man is like, I'll rotate your tires. No, I'm good. Ben, that's why I'm spending time on this. A lot of guys right now are like, can I laugh at that? Yeah. Sweetheart, can you do me a favor? Can you unload the dishwasher? I'll unload your dishwasher. Yeah, this is what happens. It's what we are. We're animals. We're animals. Own it. Own it. But men, I want you to pursue her, listen, with affectionate words.
Now, I'll be honest with you. One of the things I laughed at when I heard him say those words was, I've never heard Heather and I, guys, is there any guys that your wives have suggested to you that you should go rotate the tires? That's never happened. I don't think that's ever happened. I'm not trying to be sexist, but I just don't think that's something that's happened. But what he's saying is words of affection. And here's my challenge to you. My challenge to you is this. I want you guys, and if you would, I would challenge you in this. And you can do this in other relationships. So you can do this with your kids. You can do this with a coworker. You can do this with a friend. But I'm kind of speaking to the guys right now. Guys, if you would write down 7 to 10 to 12 things that you love about your wife, just, you can do it. And if you want to spend the rest of the message doing this, thinking those things, writing it on a piece of paper, or do it this afternoon. But I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you today. I want you to write 7 to 10 things. I'm going to do this week. Good news for Heather. I'm going to do this week. Write 7 to 10 things that you love about your wife. And then here's my challenge. On Monday, I want you to pick one, and I want you to say it first thing in the morning. Tuesday, I want you to pick another. I want you to say it first thing in the morning. And I know some of you guys, you're kind of thinking, she's right here. She's hearing everything that you're saying. She'll appreciate that you made the effort. She'll appreciate that you actually listened and that you want to do something to make your relationship and your marriage better. Do this. I love you because, and just watch what God will do this week when you intentionally do something to share that. Girls, gals, I have one for you. Pursue him with words of affirmation. Pursue him with words of affirmation. I'm going to let you gals in on a little secret here today on us guys. We like to portray strength. We like to portray that we're bold and strong. And no, there's no man, no guy that wants to be weak. I've known no man say, you know what, I just like to be weak and kind of behind, you know, just, there's no one that wants to be that. But I'll be honest with you, we are more fragile than we'd like to admit. We have more insecurities than we would ever let on. And we need affirmation. We need it at work, but we need it most in the home. We need it from our wives. And I can tell you, you guys are such a great church. You really are. In fact, Heather is my witness. There's times that I have walked away from a conversation in the grocery store, out in the community, or at a restaurant, and I've walked away from some of you, and this has happened multiple times. Heather is my witness. I said, Heather, we're so blessed. We have some great people in this church. You really are a good group of people, and you're easy to pastor. And I don't say that to just throw flowers. This is my favorite church. We're not online today, so I can say that. So I've pastored 4 churches. This is by far my favorite. And I can't say that next week because we'll be back online. So, and if you tell anybody I said that, I'm going to have to deny it and lie, which makes me a lawbreaker, and I'll need the grace of Jesus to forgive me all over again. So don't do that. But I'm just telling you, you're a great church. We have a great team and a great staff. I mean, if I could just for a moment, I've just been so blessed thinking about these last couple weeks and thinking about what God's doing in our midst that we don't get to see it all. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to have to tell some stories that I don't have time to tell today of what happened outside, people that were watching what were taking place at Camp Kanakuk this week with the 129 kids that were there. And Pastor Christie is knocking it out of the park with our children's. And I'm so grateful over, I mean, when we first started Wednesday night, it used to be just kind of daycare for the volunteers on middle school and high school volunteers. And we had 15 to 20. Now we have over 100 every Wednesday night as we closed out the school year. Our youth, our middle school, they're knocking it out of the park. Pastor Aaron and Pastor Brandon, they have nearly 100 kids on Wednesday nights together. That is double what it, our big nights together, 6th through 12th, our big nights used to be when I first got here was 40, maybe 45 if we were lucky. God has blessed us. And Pastor Dustin, man, if you don't realize what he does behind the scenes, I can't even tell you. It's not, he has such a humble heart from where he leads, but I just have to tell you, what all took place today was a miracle worker. Even when we didn't see God was working, he was working today. He was working overtime, but I'm so blessed by Pastor Nate and Christy and Dustin who have been here 7-plus years with me. That is such a blessing. Pastor Nate, didn't he knock it out of the park last week? That's a clear message. If you didn't listen to it, I hope you'll go back and listen to it. It was a great message that I would have loved to deliver myself, but I'm glad someone else delivered it because it needed to be said. But I'm so thankful in the things that he does to want to connect you in the body of Christ. And I could go on and on, and other people. I mean, Randy, I mean, he sets up our baptism, runs our facility. I could go on and on. He just makes it better. You guys, you're awesome. And I just want to say it while I can say it. I want to preach my own message to me. It's just kind of coming to me now. Do what you say and tell your people to do what you're instructed. I want to say it while I can say it. I want to say it now. What an awesome group of people you are. What an awesome church. If you're new here today, you've landed at a good place because these are some wonderful people at this church and some wonderful pastors and leaders. But I'll tell you, as good as you do, encouraging me, and you guys are so good. You're liberal with your compliments and encouragement. But nothing trumps and nothing beats when I get into the car driving away on Sunday morning and Heather looks at me and says, "That was an awesome message today," or "that you communicated that point really well." When she says that, nothing against you all, but when she says that, there's nothing like it. Guys and gals, we need this. I don't care what line of work you're in, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a construction worker, we need to be told that we're awesome. And it's just something, I don't know if I can say it well enough. And I'd land it with this. Ladies, do this one thing to close the gap. I'm sorry to pick on you ladies, but it's Father's Day. Encourage him for what you see, not criticize him for what he is not. I'm just going to tell you, he knows what he's not. Even if he leads on like he isn't, he knows what he is not. Criticize him for what he is not going to make him a better man and make him a better husband. But I'll tell you, you encourage him for what you see in him. You encourage him for I got to move on to another point. I wish I had more time on that. Secondly, let your kids hear words of hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Our words can either breathe life into our kids or they can crush them. And friends, I've been guilty. There's been times where I've said some things to my daughters. I meant it out of love or whatever, but in the moment, the action didn't quite come out right or the result wasn't quite what I had hoped for. And so I kind of spoke into that and I focused on, and they were doing their best. And honestly, a few times when it's been really bad, quietly, not in front of the girls, but Heather's pulled me aside and said, "Hey, it just really crushed them. It really hurt their spirit." And I've had to go back and say, "I'm sorry." Because you see, sometimes we can focus on the deed rather than focus on the seed. And we need to focus on the seed and not the deed. And I'm not talking about every kid get a trophy and celebrate mediocrity and don't have any high standards. But what I am saying is we'd be better off if we'd focus on the seed and not the deed. It'd make all the difference in our relationships. Does that make sense this morning? And I just say the last thing, when you think something special, do it. Sometimes we think something, what we're going to do for our kids, we're going to think something special. I would just say do it, because that road paid to hell is paid with good intentions. There's a story that was in an editorial of a grown man. Our childhood is so important. And he writes, "I was just 12 years old and a Boy Scout troop planned a father-son camp out. I was thrilled and could hardly wait to rush home and give my dad all the information. I wanted so much to show him all I had learned scouting, and I was so proud when he said he'd go with me. The Friday of the camp out finally came, and I had all my gear out on the porch, ready to stuff it in his car the moment he arrived. We were to meet the local school at 5 p.m. and carpool to the campground, but Dad didn't get home until 7. I was frantic, but he explained how things had gone wrong at work, and he told me not to worry. We could still get up first thing in the morning and join the others. After all, we had a map. I was disappointed, of course, but I decided to make the best of it. First thing in the morning, I was up, and I had everything in his car while it was still getting light and ready for us to catch up with my friends and their fathers at the campground. He said that we'd have to leave around 7 a.m., but he didn't get up. He said we'd leave around 7 a.m., but he didn't get up until 9:30. And when he saw me standing out front with the camping gear, he finally explained that he had a bad back and couldn't sleep on the ground. He hoped I'd understand that I'd be a big boy about it, but if I could please just get my things out of his car, he had several commitments he had to keep. Just about the hardest thing I've ever done was to go to the car and take out my sleeping bag, cooking stove, pup tent, and supplies. And then while I was putting my stuff away and he thought I was out of sight, I watched my father walk out the garage, sling his golf clubs over his shoulder, throw them into the trunk, and drive away to keep his commitment. That's when I realized my dad never meant to go with me to the camp out. He just didn't have the guts to tell me. How do you recalibrate a child's heart when it's been damaged by broken promises? Dad's the most important thing that you have to give to your kids is not your words, it's your presence. Thank you, dads, for showing up. And if we've all been at place, hey, we left Reagan in second grade, forgot to pick her up at our new town, second day of school, neither Heather and I showed up for. With a little bit of counseling, she got over it and she's okay. But, I mean, we all fall short is what I'm saying. But Let your kids hear words of hope, and when you think something good to do for them, do it. And lastly, well, I would say this, not lastly. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. This is the last thing I would say on this. I have one more thing. If you don't like what you're getting, check what you're giving. If you don't like what you're giving, check what you're giving. When you want to be, I didn't miss it. There it is. When you want something different, be it. This is maybe the most important one. When you want something different in your marriage, when you want something different at work, when you want something different with your team or at school, instead of focusing on the part that you have no control over, be the change that you want to be. Demonstrate, model, be the change that you want to be. When you want something different in your relationship, be it. Don't look for it in the other person. It's so easy. We're so much in a blame everyone, and we live in a society, in a world right now, that it's easy to justify our actions based on he said that to me, so I mean, I'm going to say that to him. Of course, he did this, so I'm going to do this back. I mean, it's kind of the eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but that's not the model we've been given. God's economy is a different economy. God's economy is like, no, I don't treat you the way that you deserve to be treated. No, I give you mercy. And you can't do enough to earn my favor. I give you my favor. That's called grace. And it was his kindness that leads to our repentance. It wasn't his harsh condemnation. It is Christ's love that compels us, his kindness that drew us to a place of repentance. And so I would leave us with this. If you don't like what you're getting, check what you're giving. Instead of looking at, and you may be justified, and you may be right, but where's it getting you? How's it working for you? If you don't like what you're getting, check what you're giving. Don't fall into the trap of he or she doesn't deserve it. Don't fall into that trap. Give what you want to receive. It's called the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. When you want something different, be it. Jesus modeled it. Mercy, grace, forgiveness, kindness. In Jesus, we have a model of when you think something good, say it. When we think something special, do it. Guys, do those seven things. Do them this week. And when we want something different, to be it. You know, God looked down upon humanity. He had made all creation. He was like, man, this is good. And then it went haywire because we broke his heart with our sin. We broke his heart with our rebellion. And he looked down upon humankind, he looked down upon humanity, and he didn't like what he saw. And he said, the only way I can do something about this is I'm going to have to be it for them. I'm going to have to be the change. They can't do it. So God made him who had no sin, Jesus. God made him who had no sin to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. So that we might be placed in right standing with him. We couldn't do it. We couldn't earn it. We couldn't work for it. He did it for us. And on the cross, he said, it is finished, because he closed that gap with his arms spread wide. And he became the change that we could not be for ourselves. He said, I'm going to have to be it. I'm going to have to do it for him. And he set the example for us. So we are to love as Christ loved us. We're to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. God wanted something different for you, so he came to be it for you. Would you stand with me this morning? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I'm going to leave you with that last statement. God wanted something different for you. He wants something different for you now. If you're not living in that different and you haven't received his love and his forgiveness, he wants something better for you. He wants something different for you. The good news is he came to be it for you. And by faith today, you can receive his love and grace. And if that's you today, will you just raise your hand? I'm going to pray a simple prayer together, but you just raise your hand. I want God to be it for me. I trust. I see your hands. I want God to be it for me. I can't do it for myself, but I trust him that he did it for me. and then you can put your hands down. And we're going to pray this prayer that we pray together as a confirmation, affirmation. But if you raise your hand today, say it and believe it in your heart, and God is going to do great things in your life. Would you pray this prayer with me today? Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that He gave His life to forgive my sins, and He was raised from the grave to give me life. I receive Your grace by faith. Come into my life. I will follow You. Amen and amen. God bless you this morning. Welcome to the family of God, Pastor Brandon, this morning. Thank you.
Awesome. So, hey, if that's you guys this morning, if you